Well, if you have your Bibles this morning, you can open them up to Judges. We're going to be in Judges chapter 2. Today we're kind of continuing our series titled The Bible, A True Story. And this is week 22 of our series. And today we're starting in the book of Judges, which is the seventh book of the Bible. If you've been with us recently, you know that we spent the last 4 weeks in the book of Joshua, and it highlighted, you know, the Israelites advancing under the leadership of Joshua into the promised land, this land that God was giving them finally after wandering for over 40 years in the desert. Joshua was this book that we saw them advancing and taking the promised land. And when we left off last week, we had seen Caleb. Caleb, because of his faithfulness, we saw him receive his allotment of land, the reward that God had given him and his people for his faithfulness. This land that had been promised to him 45 years earlier by Moses, because he was one of the two spies, Joshua and Caleb, that were faithful to the Lord. And so that was where we left off. And if you were to go on reading through the rest of Joshua, we'd see that the remaining tribes of Israel were also given their allotment of land. And then at the very end of the chapter, there's Joshua's farewell address to the people of Israel. And he reminds them, he reminds the people of Israel of all the things that God had done for them. How God had delivered them out of the hands of Pharaoh years ago in Egypt. How he had gone before them throughout the battles, and how he brought victory over their enemies, and how he had faithfully given them this wonderful land that had been promised all the way back to Abraham. And then Joshua told them, after telling them of all these things, the great things that God had done, he said, "Now you need to choose today who you are going to serve." Because if you remember, that's that famous part of Joshua where he says, "As for me and my house, we are going to serve the Lord." And in that speech, he told them that if they were faithful to serve God, if they were faithful to follow His commands, that God would watch over them, that He would be with them as they move forward. But he also told them if they were disobedient, and if they fail to follow the commands of the Lord, that would bring disaster upon themselves. And so the people of Israel in that moment, they declare to Joshua that we are going to choose to serve the Lord. And the book of Joshua ends with Joshua then at the very end, servant of the Most High God, passing away at the age of 110. And so now we head into the first chapter of Judges, and we find the final tribes of Israel going out to take over this land that had been given to them. And if you remember, before Joshua passed away, he told them that they were to go and to drive out the people that inhabited these lands. So that's what they were supposed to do, to go into these lands and to drive out the people that were there. But let me read to you some phrases that we hear in Judges chapter 1. Verse 27, it starts off by saying, "But Manasseh did not drive out the people." And in verse 29 it says, "Nor did Ephraim drive out the Canaanites living in Giza." Verse 30 goes on to say, "Neither did Zebulun drive out the Canaanites living in Kitron or Nahalal." Verse 31 continues saying, "Nor did Asher drive out those living in Aco or Sidon or Alab or Aksib or Helba or Aphek or Rehob." And then verse 33 says, "Neither did Naphtali drive out those living in Beth Shemesh or Beth Anith." Notice a little pattern here. The Israelites were failing to do what they were supposed to do, drive out the people. They were failing to be obedient to the commands of the Lord like they told Joshua they would. And it's sad, but the book of Judges, when you read through this book, it's interesting. I've told you, I grew up in church, and I've, you know, remember all the Bible stories growing up, and I knew, you know, about Joshua, and I remember Judges and these things and this stuff growing up from Sunday school. I honestly, as a pastor, have not gone back through and really gone through the Old Testament like I have recently. And I'm telling you, Sunday school taught Judges a little differently, okay? Because the book of Judges, it's a disturbing and tragic tale of the human sin nature of people. As we walk through the book of Judges in this series, we're going to see a sad cycle that the people of Israel continued to find themselves in. And it seems to get worse and worse each time they come around on that cycle. And it begins, this cycle, it begins with sin and disobedience. Where they don't listen to the Lord, they don't obey His commands, they don't do what they said they were going to do, which then leads to God saying fine and backing off, and it leads to them being oppressed by other people. And then after a period, and a long period of time of being oppressed and finding themselves in slavery to other people, they finally come to a place of repentance and call out to the Lord, which then God has mercy on them and delivers them. And then that leads to a time of peace for a period of time, only until they start to disobey and begin down this cycle once again. And as we get into the book of Judges, we're going to see how far the people of Israel continue to fail. It's probably one of the most violent and disturbing books found in the Bible. All right, and I don't remember this from growing up. I'm going back through it, and I'm like, yeah, you know, you remember these judges of, you know, Gideon and Samson, and you think all these great things, and yeah, God used them to do some great things, but then when you see who they are and how messed up these people were, it's not what I remember. It's an interesting story or book in the Bible, but I think all that we see, there's a point to this book. And it's supposed to serve as a reminder or even a warning of how far we can fall when we fail to follow the commands of the Lord, when we fail to live our life for Him. And so today, I want to focus on the failures of the Israelites after Joshua passed away and look at what obedience should have looked like for the Israelites, because we know that they weren't obedient. And so if you have your Bibles, you can follow along with me this morning. We're going to read Judges 2, verses 1 through 4. And this is following after they did not do what they were supposed to do. All those scriptures I read at the end of Judges 1, where they didn't do this, they didn't drive out, they didn't drive out these people. That's where we're at now here in Judges chapter 2. And so it says this: "The angel of the Lord went up from Gilgal to Bochim and said, 'I brought you up out of Egypt and led you into the land I swore to give to your ancestors. I said, I will never break my covenant with you, and you shall not make a covenant with the people of this land. But you shall break down their altars, yet you have disobeyed me. Why have you done this? And I have also said, I will not drive them out before you. They will become traps for you, and their gods will become snares to you.' When the angel of the Lord had spoken these things to all the Israelites, the people wept aloud, and they called the place of Bochim there, and they called that place Bochim. There they offered sacrifices to the Lord." Now, verse 6, as we head into verse 6, it backtracks a little bit now. It takes us back to the end of Joshua, and you will see here as it says this. It says, "After Joshua had dismissed the Israelites," this is after his speech to them that I talked about, "they went to take possession of the land, each to their own inheritance. The people served the Lord throughout the lifetime of Joshua and of the elders who outlived him and who had seen all the great things the Lord had done for Israel. Joshua, son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died at the age of 110. And they buried him in the land of his inheritance at Timnath-Heres in the hill country of Ephraim, north of Mount Gash. After that whole generation had been gathered to their ancestors, another generation grew up who knew neither the Lord nor what the Lord had done for Israel. Then the Israelites did evil in the eyes of the Lord and served the Baals, other gods. Verse 12, they forsook the Lord, the God of their ancestors who had brought them out of Egypt. They followed and worshipped various gods of the people around them. They aroused the Lord's anger because they forsook him and served Baal and the Ashtoreths. In his anger against Israel, the Lord gave them into the hands of raiders who plundered them. He sold them into the hands of their enemies all around, whom they were no longer able to resist. And so we see what happens to the Israelites here. And we see that their disobedience brought oppression upon themselves. God pulled his hand away. And it's because they disobeyed, because they broke their covenant with the Lord, God was no longer bound by the covenant that he had made with them. And if you think about that, if you break a contract with someone, then that other person, the other party, is no longer bound by that contract. So God no longer was bound. He no longer protected them, and they found themselves now oppressed in the hands of their enemies. It's the unfortunate consequences of disobedience, of not following the Lord. And as I was studying these first few chapters of Judges, the thing that kept stirring in my head was, what was it that the Israelites failed to do? What would obedience, or what should have obedience looked like if they had chosen obedience over the disobedience that they lived out? And that's what I want to talk about this morning. Three things that would have been or should have been obedience for the Israelites. And three things that can be considered obedience for us today. And so my first point this morning is this. Obedience is following God's commands. It's plain and simple. Obedience is following God's commands. As I mentioned at the end of Joshua, Joshua pulls all the people of Israel together. And he tells them one last time that if they're faithful to serve God, if they're faithful to follow his commands, God would be with them. He would watch over them. They wouldn't experience the oppression. But if you are disobedient and if you fail to follow the commands of the Lord, Joshua told them that this would bring disaster upon them because God would step away and allow them to be oppressed. And so here in chapter 2 of Judges, we see the disaster begin to happen. And it's because they failed to follow God's commands. They failed to walk in obedience. And there are two parts to this aspect of following God's commands. Because there are the original commands that God had given to Moses for the people of Israel to obey. And then there are those commands that God gave them at specific times for specific things, you know, to go and to drive them out completely. Now, the original commands are what we know as the Ten Commandments. Those are the original commands that God gave to Moses to give to the Israelites. Maybe you remember them, maybe you don't. About 3 or 4 years ago, we went through a series on the Ten Commandments. But here are the Ten Commandments, just to remind you. Number one, you shall have no other gods before me. Number two, you shall not make idols. Number three, you shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. Number four, remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. Number five, honor your father and your mother. Number six, you shall not murder. Number seven, you shall not commit adultery. Number eight, you shall not steal. Number nine, you shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. And then the tenth commandment, you shall not covet. And the thing is, after Joshua passed away, They seemed to forget all about these commands that God had given them. And it started with the first two. They started worshiping other gods. They started raising up idols. They started doing the rituals of the Canaanites. And some of those rituals were worshiping idols, sacrificing their own children to their gods. They were committing adultery, doing all sorts of things, anything but following the commands of God. They seemed to forget about this conversation that they had with Joshua, that they would continue to serve the Lord. And they failed to walk in obedience. They failed to follow the commands that God had given them. And so I guess the question that we have to ask ourselves this morning is, are we walking in obedience? Are we following God's commands? What are the commands that He's given us? We still, I believe, that the Ten Commandments, these are things that we should be honoring. We're not supposed to be worshiping other gods and idols. There's all sorts of things that we say, oh, I don't do that. Well, there are a lot of things that become idols in our life that become more important to us than God. You know, we're not supposed to be murdering or committing adultery. You're like, well, I wouldn't do anything like that. But Jesus tells us in the New Testament, if you think with malice in your heart towards someone, it's as if you are committing murder. If you have impure thoughts upon someone in your mind, it's as if you committed adultery with them. In those standards, we all fall short, right? Are we following God's commands? Because obedience is following His commands, whether it's the commands He gives us in His Word or the commands He gives us as we seek to follow Him and His will for our lives. What's the last thing God told you to do? Are you doing it? Are you following the commands? Are you doing the things that God has told you to do? Which leads me to my second point this morning, which is this. Obedience is following His commands, but obedience is also completing His commands. It's carrying out the commands that He has given us to completion. You see, the problem that the Israelites ran into here in Judges chapter 1 is that they didn't complete the command that God had given them. God had told them, drive out the enemies completely. But as I read in the scriptures earlier from chapter 1 here of Judges, many of the tribes failed to drive out the people that were in the land. They decided to try to coexist with them. And in doing so, they failed to complete the commands that God gave them. And this failure was the main cause of their downfall. You see, the purpose for driving out these people was so that the Israelites wouldn't be influenced by their idolatry, by their moral corruption, because these people that live in this land, they were morally corrupt. I told you, they were sacrificing their children. They were adulterous, sleeping with everyone. It was all sorts of horrible things, worshiping other gods, all sorts of things that they were doing. And God didn't want them to be corrupted by them. And by not driving them out, we find that the Israelites, they were instead influenced by their idolatry, by their moral corruption. And the thing we have to understand is that the commands of God, it's not rules and regulations to make our lives miserable. A lot of people think that. They hear about, well, Christians, well, don't you have to, aren't there those commands you got to follow? Aren't there things God says you can and can't do? And people see it as these rules and regulations to make our life miserable, but those are there to protect us, to keep us from going down roads that God knows. God created the world. He knows the sin that has entered this world, and He has given us these commands because He knows I'm the only God that will please you. If you start seeking other gods, I know what that's going to bring. I know what sacrificing your children is going to do. I know what adultery, I know what these things will bring to your life. I am not giving them to you as rules and regulations to make your life miserable. I'm giving them to you to protect you and to keep you from going down roads that will lead you to more pain and destruction in your life. And God doesn't want us to experience any more hurt and pain than we already have to experience by just being in a fallen, broken world. God says, you're going to experience difficulties. You're going to experience hardship because you live in a fallen, broken world. And my heart and desire is that if you follow my commands, you won't have to experience any more hurt and pain than you already do. When we fail to follow His commands or fail to complete His commands, we simply open ourselves up to more hurt and pain in this world. And so the question we have to ask ourselves this morning is, are there areas in our lives where we have failed to complete the commands that God has given us? Are there places and areas that we've quit, that we have stopped short of the goal? And as we identify these areas, I think this morning the Lord is encouraging us, okay, maybe you stopped, maybe you messed up, but now is the time to get back in there and to keep going, to keep moving forward, to keep doing what we know that we're doing. Because ultimately we're called to not just start the job, not to just start living these commands. We're called to finish these commands that God has given us, to finish the job, because obedience is completing. It's fully living out the commands that God gives us. And then the third thing I discovered from the Scriptures here this morning is this. Obedience is following His commands. Obedience is completing His commands. And then obedience is passing on those commands. In verse 9, it talks about burying Joshua after he had died. And before that, it just talks about all the people of his generation that have passed on. And then in verse 10, it says, after that whole generation had been gathered to their ancestors, meaning once they had all passed away, gathered to their ancestors, another generation grew up who knew neither the Lord nor what He had done for Israel. Remember, Joshua talks about all these things that God has done for Israel. Remember these things that God has done for Israel. And none of these people knew the Lord nor what He had done for Israel. There was a whole generation of Israelites who failed to pass on the commands of the Lord, who failed to share the truth of who God was and the stories of all that He did for them. And because of this, the next generation forgot God. And so they began to worship other gods. Back in Deuteronomy, God told Moses the importance of passing on His truth to the younger generation. Listen to what Moses told the people in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 1 through 2. I have it to go up on the screen here. It says this: these are the commands, decrees, and laws the Lord your God directed me to teach you to observe in the land that you are crossing the Jordan to possess, so that you, your children, and their children after them may hear the Lord your God as long as you live. May fear the Lord your God. Hear Him too, I hope. As long as you live, by keeping all His decrees and commands that I give you, and so that you may enjoy long life. And then, if you jump to verse 6 through 9, it goes on to say, these commandments that I give you today, they are to be upon your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home, when you walk along the road, when you lie down, when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. Basically, don't forget them. Don't forget these commands. Don't forget who God is. Because we're called to pass on the commands of the Lord. We're responsible to share His love, to share His truth, to share who God is with others. And we need to do that in our neighborhoods, in our workplaces, in our schools. But I believe it really starts in our homes. It starts in our own homes. As a pastor, I know that my first priority isn't pastoring you. My first priority is to pastor my family. I have to make my family a priority. What kind of pastor would I be if I pastored everybody else but failed to love and to pastor my family and to teach them the truth of who God is? And the sad thing is, it happens all the time. I've known numerous pastors who were so busy pastoring their churches that they didn't realize their families were falling apart. They failed to pastor their own families. And it doesn't just happen for pastors. It happens for us as Christians. We spend so much time worrying about what others are doing wrong, pointing the fingers at everybody else and how they're not living life the way they should, and we're failing to love and to care and to pass things on to our families, and our families are failing and our families are falling short. As Christians, we all as Christians have the responsibility of passing on what we know, what we've been taught to our families. We can't let the next generation be raised up and not even know who God is. That's what we see here in this scripture. As I mentioned earlier, Judges, it's a disturbing book when you realize how far the people fell from God. How one generation can be so godly and the next generation can be so corrupt. And it's because one generation knew God and the next generation didn't. So the question I think we have to ask ourselves, what will the generation of our kids and our kids' kids and our kids' kids' kids, what will that they look like if we fail to pass on these commands? I think we're seeing that, unfortunately, in our world today. We're seeing an unchurched generation that things have not been passed down. They haven't been taught. Now, I'm fortunate because I know I'm here today because I had grandparents who loved the Lord passionately. And they passed that love on to their kids, my parents. And my parents came to know and to love the Lord, and my parents loved the Lord and passed that love on to me. And I'm doing my best to pass that love on to my kids, hoping that they'll pass that on to their kids. But the important thing we have to realize is that it can't just be talk. And I think that is the problem with the last generation, the generations that we've seen. That we were real big on religion. We were real big on talk. Talking about how you needed to live, what you needed to do, how you do things right. And it reminds me kind of my dad. We used to joke when my dad would tell me to do something or I couldn't do something one way or the other that he was able to do, you know. But come on, Dad, how come I can't do it? You do it. And he's like, do as I say, not as I do. And my dad was joking in that usually, most of the time. But isn't that often the way we do things? It's a lot of talk. Do as I say, not as I do. And I think that it has to be more than talk. We have to allow them to see it modeled out in and through our lives. Because kids know, oh, well, yeah, my parents say this, but they don't do it. They're not living it, and I think that's what we've seen throughout our world. Well, they're not living it, why should I? And then it's passed on to the generations that they're not serving God. They're not living their lives for the Lord. And so we have to do our best to model it, to show them how to live out His commands, how we do it in our own life. Because I believe obedience is, it's passing on those commands. It's sharing the truth of who Jesus is with others, with our families. And the thing we have to realize is we cannot pass on what we don't know ourselves. We can't pass on what we don't know ourselves. And so do we understand God's commands? Do we know God? Do we understand His love for us? Do we understand that His commands are not rules and regulations? His commands are His love letter to us, trying to protect us and to keep us from going down roads where we'll experience hurt and pain that He knows we don't need to experience. The Israelites failed to understand this, and they failed to walk in obedience. And my prayer for us this morning is that we would understand who God is. That we would understand His unconditional love for us. Like I said, come as you are. God says, come as you are. I love you, and I don't expect you to change immediately. But as you experience my love, as you understand my love will change you and transform you from the inside out, where you will begin to live out my commands. Because God says, if you love me, you will obey my commands. And it's something, as we come as we are and allow God to pour into our lives, we begin to learn His love and understand how much love He has for us. And how much, when you're loved, when you're truly loved by someone, how much do you want to serve them and care for them? And that's God's desire, that we would see His love, that we would love Him so much that we would desire to obey His commands. That we would understand these things, and because we understand these things, that we would walk in that obedience by following His commands, by completing His commands, and by passing those commands on to others. Amen? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your Word. And Lord, I'm understanding even more and more how amazing Your Word is, Lord. Here I am, a man who grew up in church, and yeah, I heard the Bible stories, but I'm finding a deeper understanding of Your words. We're walking through it as a church. The reality of being a God who is so gracious. Lord, as we're going to understand, as we walk through more of Judges, we are going to see, Lord, just how horrible the people of Israel became, but You still loved them. And though they had to experience oppression, though they had to go through things, when they repented, Lord, You came and You delivered them. And Lord, we're going to fail. We're going to make mistakes as Christians, but we're so thankful that You are a God that loves us so much that You forgive us and You deliver us from these things, Lord. And so, Lord, I thank You for Your Word. I thank You for what we're learning as we walk through Your Word. Just the fact that, Lord, You are a God who loves us. Lord, that You have given us these commands, not as rules and regulations, but Lord, because You understand what happens if we don't follow Your commands. That You understand these things that You have, these guidelines and things You put around us, You understand that when we do these things, all they do is lead to hurt and pain and heartache in our lives. And in reality, Your commands are there to help protect us, to help us experience the least amount of hurt and pain that we need to experience being in a fallen, broken world. And so we thank You for Your love, Lord. We thank You for Your Word, and we pray that we would come to understand Your love for us, and that we would desire, Lord, to follow Your commands, and Lord, to follow them to completion, Lord. And that as we live those out, that we would share that with others, Lord Jesus, with our families first and foremost, but then also, Lord, with our neighbors, with our co-workers, that we would be lights that shine bright for You, that people would see something different in us as we learn to love You and to live our lives for You, Lord. So we thank You again for these scriptures. We pray that You just continue to speak into our hearts, Lord. Continue to challenge us to be the men and women of God that You've called us to be, Lord. We want to love You. We want to obey Your commands because of that love as well, Lord. Help us to do that to the best of our ability. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.